Mick, if I can delve into the Gospel of John, and he gave me permission. He said he may not get here for quite a while, so you maybe will have forgotten. It'll be fresh when he gets there with you. Title I have given it is Abide in Me and I in You, or The Love of the Brethren, the Fruit of the True Vine. I would like to read those 17 verses and then bring some words to you from them. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no end than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray just for a moment. Father, we thank you for this, your word to us, your Son's word to the apostles at a troublesome time in their lives. Help us to see the wonders of what you've accomplished through your Son and what you've caused us to be and the tremendous promises that are ours that we've just read and the relationship so sweet that you've drawn us into. And may all the glory be yours in Christ's name. Amen. Now, this is just one portion of the scriptures that we call the Upper Room Discourse, where Judas has departed and the last Passover is Jesus meets with the apostles there in the upper room. So there are they. He is with the 11. And he's about to divulge to them tremendous truths that we'll see. They're going to need help just remembering, and he's going to send the helper to help them to remember what he's going to share with them. But lo and behold, there in the upper room with their master, as they've observed all that he is and what he's said and what he's done, what does he do? He washes their feet. And we just sang about the servant king. He washes their feet. He sets them an example of what they should be to one another. He knows their hearts, you see, as we've seen before. I mean, while they were walking to Jerusalem, remember, he says, what were you boys talking about on the way? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Right? So he knows their hearts and what needs to be dealt with, and he will accordingly. Now, this is chapter 13. As we come forward, Jesus predicts his betrayal and what's coming by way of it. And then he inserts this tremendous truth that we'll see even more fleshed out as we go, especially in 15 that we've just read. He gives them a new commandment. First of all, he knows they're startled. He says, little children, verse 33 of chapter 13, little children, I am a little while longer with you, and you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm coming, you cannot go. And then he inserts this truth. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also may love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I love how this whole conversation goes, because you would think by way of that there's going to be a lot shared, you know. But Peter's focus is, where are you? Where you go, I cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Where are you going? He says. So the hearts of the apostles as to where they are. You know, he doesn't say, now just be quiet, I've got something to share with. No, he where their hearts are, he deals with Peter by that. And then he admonishes him by letting him, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say it to you, a rooster will not crow till you deny me three times. So he's comforting them by what is coming. He does that, verse 14, chapter 1, let not your heart be troubled. And he begins to unfold tremendous truths by way of what's coming, by way of the cross, etc., and by the way of the coming of the role of the Holy Spirit. But he keeps inserting particular things by way of this love relationship that he is, this new commandment. He keeps putting in to his conversation as he goes. Look at verse 12 of 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Why, we just read that in the parable of the branches, didn't we? So see how the Lord builds and brings them into it, right? There's other verses in this particular chapter that speaks to that very truth. Look at 21, verse 21 of 14. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And of course, there are other questions that come from the apostles, and he answers their questions, et cetera, et cetera. By way of this, why aren't you doing this? Why are you doing this now? Verse 31. Verse 23, actually, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You see that word abode? That's the word abide. We just read that 10 times in the parable of the branches. Abiding, that's the word. We will come and abide, make our abide with him. Abide in me, and I in you. And now we come finally to the unfolding even more fully and fleshing out what that new commandment was about and what it is about to do with regards to those who are his, are sitting before him and hearing his words. For he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. See that word clean? It's a derivative of the word prunes in verse 2. It's a cleaning. If you're a gardener and you can talk to Brother John, he knows a lot about plants. If you want them to grow, et cetera, you prune them. It causes them to grow even more. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. I thought of James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Along the way, he speaks the truth to your heart and mind, and he cleans us. And now we have a series of this abide in me. 10 times now, he's going to say this in this discourse, in this parable that he brings before them. And here we have the first, abide in me. and I in you. It abide in me, that is a commandment. It's a aorist commandment. Do this, abide in me, and I in you. It's speaking of a relationship. It's not you do this and then I will do that. He's telling them about a relationship that comes in both of them being brought together. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And then he describes two branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Now, some of the fruit that we know of that would be fleshed out by way of what God causes us to be as the Holy Spirit dwells within, we'll look at with regards to within the body and this love that we have for one another. You can read of them in Galatians 5:22, where we read, here's what some of the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, self-control. This is the fruit. This is some of the fruit that will be in us as we desire to walk in such a way that pleases him. So abide in me and I in you. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, we've got to be careful here because you don't want to stretch this parable too far where you think now some people can become a believer, a Christian, and then they lose their salvation as Russ shared with us this morning. That's not possible. What we hear is what we read in John in chapter 8. If you want to come there with me, I'll point us just out a few things by way of these branches. Jesus is describing us to who he is as being the light of the world, and he's getting reports from the Jews, the leaders who do not take him to be who he is and deride him. So they, verse 25, say what they're saying to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They didn't realize he had been speaking to them about the Father. He said, so when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak the things that the Father has taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to them. And verse 30, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits, the old King James has the committeth, which gives the proper understanding. This is a continual sin. Continues. He who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in a house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you have heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Were they saying that with regards they knew of his birth? We don't know, but perhaps that was a great put down on their behalf towards Jesus. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Because he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And they will continue to rail against him, as you know, and turn against him. And at the end of the chapter, they pick up stones to stone him. This is a picture of the branches who really are not a part of the vine. They believed in him. They saw the things that he did. Oh, your words and the miracles, oh, we believe. And how you were able to speak against the rulers, et cetera, and so put them in their place by way of what you say. We believe in you, but not here. These are the branches that Jesus speaks of. If anyone does not, I'm back in John 15 now. If anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Eternal judgment, separated from God. And now he turns back to the apostles. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Those are awesome truths. What a promise. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. That reminds me of John chapter 9 and the man that was born blind. Remember? They were railing against him, you know, with regards to this Jesus. And we don't know where he is from, they said. Well, here's a strange thing. You don't know where he is from. We know that God does not hear anybody's prayers if they're not with him and walking with him. And so he knew enough scriptures that he would point them to that particular truth. And if you've got time, you can read it in Psalm 34 and Psalm 145. The man born blind had more sight than the rulers of the Jews with regards to that. And so Jesus, of course, would reveal the fullness of who he is to this particular blind man. And also, I've remembered in reading in Psalm 66 in verse 18, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if you abide in me, Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Now, I've written up above there 1 John 5 and 14, because when we ask according to his will, not mine, not yours. So there's a new home and the yacht and all those things put in their proper place. That's what we will ask for, all right? Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. There's the proof, and that is he is making us to be like his Son. There in chapter 14, before we stepped into 15, that last verses through there with regards to Jesus. Verse 29, now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me, has no part. But so that you may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded. Get up, let us go from here. Do you see how he sets the example? How he loves the Father? What the Father says and commands, I do. This is this relationship that he is unfolding to the apostles, and he has exampled them before them, all right? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. We'll never plumb the depths fully of that, will we? What he has done in bringing us into his family and what that means. And yet he would have us to know that we are his and he is in us. We are his children, his loved ones. Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. And there we have the command again, abide in my love, abide in my love. Walk in obedience. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience and love go hand in hand. And they render not a heavy burden, but like it says in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy be made full. The more I looked at that, oh my. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, his joy, Jesus' joy, may be in you. When I thought of that, I was pointed towards Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. You could turn there if you want to. But it's just that one verse points out about this joy that's his. Verse 1 of 12 of Hebrews, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, where he intercedes for you and me. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. My. I'm his and he's mine. The fulfillment of the abide in me and I in you. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And now here comes a new direction by way of this love that he's been telling the apostles along, you know, about this love for one another, like he and the Father have. All right. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It's a present tense, that you be loving one another. It's not a one-shot deal. It's not on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, and that's it. It's forever, right? That you be loving one another just as I have loved you. And the apostles could go back and see his patience with them, his love for them, encouraging them, correcting them, and never casting them aside, save for the one who was the plan that he would do, be the traitor, that was Judas. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And then you see, pointing back to that new commandment, chapter 13, 34, and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this all the world will know that you are my disciples. Greater love has no one than one lay down his life for his friends. But I was reminded as I looked at that this morning and heard Russ speak about this, and looking at 1 John and chapter 3. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes in my Christian walk, I've wondered at times in my earlier years, just who am I? Am I really a Christian? And since then, I've been able to help others by way of that in the community here recently, and encouraged my kids as to who you truly are. Where will you turn? You turn to the Word. That's where you turn. In 1 John is in chapter 3, where there's other chapter 2 and chapter 3 and others speak of this particular thing by knowing who we are. Verses 1 John 3 and verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Verse 16, we know love by this, he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. And then I love verses 19, 18, 19 and all. We should love and indeed and in truth. You shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. That's the abiding in him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has commanded us. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And if we had time in the John's Gospel to go, the chapters that will follow, the verses that follow, he'll speak of the Holy Spirit that would come and reside within. And that's how we know who we are. I love God. I want to obey him. There's the obedience. When I don't, there's no peace in this heart and mind. There cannot be a peace anymore to go on as I used to live prior to his coming into my heart. And I turn away and I seek repentance to him and towards those who I may have sinned against. And the other major evidence is the love that we have for one another. And I think I'm looking at almost all of you out there, and I would say from what this meager mind of mine knows, that we love one another. We love one another. No matter what comes. And we're still in the flesh, so some things are going to come that we'll have to deal with. But the Lord will enable us by way of the Holy Spirit to continue to love one another. Back to John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's not reciprocal. Well, if you do that, then I'll make you my friends. We are already his friends, right? The point is what he's going to share with us in the next few words. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And the more you and I know, as the scriptures unfold what we were prior to him coming and changing this heart and mind, we, as we saw in John 8, were just as enslaved as those people at that particular moment in their lives. Even if we believe in our minds, and no. But God comes into that darkness and he turns the light on. And he draws us out of the darkness into his glorious light. And he makes us his, and he dwells within. And so we are in this friendship relationship that he has brought us into. And then he reminds us in verse 16, that's exactly what had to take place. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We love him because he first loved us. It took me quite a few years to learn that. And getting into the scriptures and being able to see it, my eyes are opened. I couldn't hardly grasp what I had correct a lot of things by way of how I understood how I got saved. And I may have shared that with you. I called my brother down here in Florida, and he'd come into these truths by way of that. We love him because he first loved us. I'm crying, he's rejoiced. And then he sent me a series of tapes, if you will. And it told me of my fallen state according to the scriptures. And then I knew. I didn't choose him. He chose me, right? Once I was dead, now I've been made alive. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There's that repetition. I've got a big old line right up verse 7. If you abide in me, the words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and shall be done. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Wow. I've told my dad and mom when they were here, I said, there's nothing we can do. We can't even leave the house. I said, the most powerful thing you can do, mom and dad, is to pray. For me, for the church, for your kids, for your grandkids, is to pray, right? And to love us, especially those who are one in Christ with you. This I command you, that you love one another. And then I remember James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Love covers a multitude of sins, right? The effective, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. I can remember when I was very troubled in one church where I was a part of, and I sought out such an individual that the Lord led me to. And I said, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Prayer is powerful, peoples. If you ask, seeking his will for his glory, he answers. Sometimes not immediately, but he says, I always hear and I always answer. And this past week, we've been praying as a family for various things that have impacted the Watsons and people around us, but especially the Watsons and the Lord. And Patsy's brother, and just one answer after another. Powerful, powerful. So brothers, love one another, right? And pray for one another, right? So important it is that we allow the Lord to prune us, okay? Where we haven't been doing so, you need snip, snip, snip. We hear, what we should be doing according to his word. Russ brings the word to us faithfully, God's word, what he's caused us to be, how we should live in the body of Christ, how we should conduct ourselves even in the body of Christ. Sometimes we even need to be corrected in the body of Christ. You mean in Bethel community? Yes. We even Bethel community need to be corrected at times, right? So Russ spoke to me this morning and he said, don't you see in your bulletin where you need to come in and quiet your hearts so we can come before and God is in our presence to worship him? And I thought of this scripture, Philippians. Turn with me. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I want you to see this. Paul writes, church there in Philippi, chapter 4. Oh, he has the word therefore in verse 1, so you've got to go back and bring yourself into where he is at, right? Our citizenship is in heaven, verse 20, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Wow, there's something going on in the body of Christ. Early church, first century, needs to be addressed. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Whatever the issue was, they're not in harmony. Indeed, true companion, whoever this particular companion was, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. So these are godly women. There's something that's come between them. Together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. These are believers. You see that word to help? It means, in literally, it's take hold together with. It's a present tense. It means this seems to be something that needs to be going on. You need to get involved. And it's a middle voice. Now, the rest of us know what middle voice. It means you are totally, completely involved. This is a part of the love relationship. Right? Am I willing to humble myself and come and admonish my brother and sister in doing things that are contrary to God's word? If I love them, I will. If I love the Lord, I will. For his glory and ultimately for their and my good. That's a part of being in the body of Christ. That's why the church is like no other organization that man can come up with. On the face of this earth, as goodly as they might be in some of the things that they do. Because there are going to come times, like we read in John 8, there's going to be people that are going to walk and leave. Nothing to do with the church anymore. By God's grace, may it not be because I've acted improperly or said things improperly. But if it is out of love for the Lord and as a love for their souls, then it is an evidence that indeed I do love them. And if they walk, is like 1 John chapter 2, as Russ said this morning, they really were not of us. They were one of those branches. Oh, we believe, as long as we're not offended. And then we're out of here. And that's what you'll find when you go into the world, of course, when you share the gospel with peoples around you, or even share that with those that you love. They might be, and they will be, offended until the Holy Spirit comes and turns the light on, and they are enabled to see who they truly are. And then what once was, they were your enemies and would despise you, they will love you. They will love him, first of all. And then they will love you. That's a part of this relationship. So there are the evidence. Where do you and I stand, all right, in this particular relationship? If you're a Christian, you are grafted in, people. And the evidence is, like Pastor said, because the Lord's the one who, you will never be pulled free, all right? Those whom he loves for all of eternity. So may all the praise and the glory be his as the Father comes and the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling with you in you and I, and this pruning going on, even today, to make us more like Christ. and bring us even more depth into this joyful relationship that he has brought us into. Let's sing a song and then I'll pray. I came across this song, a young lady, Sarah Kroger.